Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was given up by her birth parents, and the state of New York labeled her disabled. She was adopted and raised by Frank and Marianne Barthel and grew up in Syracuse, New York. She earned a BA in journalism and met the love of her life, Pat Parks, at Marquette University. In 2010, Pat died unexpectedly, leaving her a widow to raise her two young daughters. Her name, Katie Parks, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Katie Parks, an inspiration to everyone and anyone she meets. Katie, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
You were born New York and given up for adoption by your birth parents. And then for the first 6 months of your life, you were in foster care.
That's right.
Then what happened?
Well, the story that I've been told time and time again ever since I can remember is that one afternoon my mother answered the phone, and it was a person from the adoption agency with whom my mother had become friendly over the years since the 2 years prior they had adopted my brother Brian. And the agency worker told her that they had a baby, and my parents had been waiting for another child, but they said the child was handicapped, was the terminology of the day. And that was all the information they would be given. They were not told if the handicap was physical or developmental, but that there was a baby available, yet she was handicapped. And my mom was instructed to talk it over with my dad and to think about it. And she said she would, but she could give the answer right then, is that it was her belief that God was sending her this baby and that they would raise her to the very best of her ability. And
why did the state of New York label you handicapped?
Well, I was born with a dislocated hip, which is a very treatable physical deformity. And but at the time, it was enough to garner that label. And as was the tradition in the late 60s in New York, handicapped babies were not eligible for immediate permanent placement, and that is why I spent the first 6 months in foster care.
A minute ago, you talked about that God sent you these two angels, Frank and Marianne Barthel.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your parents.
Oh, gosh. Well, they're incredible human beings. They knew each other since kindergarten, went to prom together, and grew up in this very tight-knit Catholic community in Syracuse. Went to Assumption High School together and then Lemoyne College, which is a Jesuit college right in Syracuse. My mom was an incredibly faith-filled person, a daily mass goer, active in our church and in our schools growing up. My dad was a physics major and an engineer by trade, an electrical engineer, designed lighting fixtures. My mom died in 1995 when I was pregnant with my first child, and my dad just moved here last summer, and he is in Woodward Hills Nursing Center suffering the effects of Parkinson's disease, but he's close to me now and I get to visit him every day.
Katie, what's the biggest thing Mom and Dad taught you?
Well, I think my mother's lesson, which I promised myself I would never say once I became an adult, and the first time it rolled off my tongue, I couldn't believe it, that nobody ever said life was going to be fair. And but she consistently challenged my brother and I to do our very best and to give our very best. And at the end of the day, if you could look back on what you accomplished with pride because you knew you gave it your all. My dad, I would think the greatest lesson my father taught me would be that he always said that disappointment only ever really becomes a tragedy if you fail to learn something from it. And as a teenager, I never wanted to learn from my disappointments. I just wanted to wallow in self-pity. And he would always say, well, come back and we'll talk about it when you're ready to figure out what you can learn from this, how you can grow. And I think both of those life lessons have probably directed me throughout my entire lifetime.
Katie Parks, if there's a listener tonight that's adopted
mm-hmm.
and is thinking, I'm adopted and I've got deep resentments about this, I've got great psychological issues about this, what do you say to that listener?
Well, I think I'd say I'm sorry and I'm sad for you, because I don't know if it was the way my parents, my adoptive parents, approached this, but I only ever had incredible gratitude for the sacrifice that those birth parents made. And it could be the framework in which I was raised, is that they made an incredible sacrifice, and I want to believe it was because they felt I could be better served being raised by other people. So if I were to meet my birth parents, I would say thank you for making that sacrifice. And if I were to meet someone who is an adoptee who is angry about it, I would think that I would have to turn to my dad's life lesson, is, so you're disappointed and upset, but what can you learn from this? How can you grow? What experiences have you been made available to you because of the fact that you've had your life's journey has taken the path that it has?
Talk to us about the need for adoption and why a couple should consider adoption.
Well, I mean, everything that's good in my life came from the fact that I was adopted and brought into this loving home. You know, I think there are so many options available to people now, and adoption is a very difficult one because there are many more families that are looking to adopt babies than babies that are available for adoption, definitely in terms of domestic adoptions. But I've had conversations with people who have struggled to have children naturally, and they have occasionally thought that they wouldn't have that bond and didn't think adoption would be an option for them. And I have to say that nothing is further from the truth in terms of my experience. I mean, I didn't even meet my parents till I was 6 months old, and not a day goes by that I don't miss my mother or that I don't thank my dad for everything that he gave me. I mean, they are completely 100% my parents.
We're talking to Katie Parks, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Katie Parks, who went on to earn a BA in journalism from Marquette University, met the love of her life, Pat Parks, married, two children. Katie, let's go back to early 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Life was great. What was your life like then?
Well, my husband and I had these two remarkable daughters who were mature beyond their years and brought us great joy every single day, making us, our house was filled with laughter and sometimes inappropriate laughter, but laughter nonetheless. And we enjoyed each other's company. We were surrounded by great family and a large circle of friends, but given the chance, we would enjoy to spend time with one another.
3 years ago tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
your life changed forever. Pat was being treated for a squash injury, and then he passed. Tell us about that injury, the treatment, and his passing.
Well, in the spring of 2010, he was being treated for a hernia and had hernia surgery from a squash-related injury, but the pain after the surgery intensified and was localized in the area where the injury was. So everything was being sort of circled back around, did the surgery not go well, or we couldn't figure out what the root of his pain was. And on Father's Day in 2010, the pain became so severe that we went to Ann Arbor and to the ER to try and do some follow-up on a diagnosis that the Cleveland Clinic was, he had one appointment there, and it was a very confusing time for us. We were getting a lot of different suggestions of what potentially could be causing the pain. And we met with a number of physicians in Ann Arbor, but then came back home, waited for some follow-up with specialists, and his pain was out of control. So I actually turned to a friend of ours who is a surgeon, Dr. Richard Easton, who is an incredible human being, and he actually operated on my back a couple times, and I said, "Rich, I need help. He's in agony, and I don't know what to do about it." So Rich admitted him and helped commandeer a number of tests, organized a number of tests to try and figure out what was wrong with him. And on July 16th, we were told that they found cancer cells in the fluid lining his lung. They never found a tumor anywhere in his body. The cells ended up taking over his lung function, making it impossible for him to breathe. And in early August, a week before his death, he was put on a ventilator, and we thought it might have been an infection, but it was really the cancer that had just ravaged his lungs. And this progressed so quickly, it blindsided all of us. And less than a month after finding those original cells, he died.
August 12th, 2010, leaving you a young widow with two daughters to raise.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, how did you survive that? And how did you get through that?
You know, I'm not sure. I think I'll look back on that time in my life and realize that I probably followed more than I led. I followed my resilient children who loved their dad more than anything in the entire world. I followed my faith life that continues to be very strong, that allows me to believe that he is at peace and free from pain and surrounded by perfect happiness. I followed my family who supported me with their love, and my friends who are remarkable in terms of holding me up. And I did what Pat would want me to do, is to continue to try and keep our family strong and support all those things that were important to him, that they should remain important to all of us, that we not be solely defined by this one horrible thing that happened to us.
Another angel that God gave you was Pat's dad, Ed Parks.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the great men in Southeast Michigan.
That's for sure.
Tell us about Ed Parks.
Well, he is a remarkable human being, and Pat was definitely his father's son, which says why I love the man so much. Ed is committed to family, to friends, to faith, to this community. He gives of himself constantly, and he is the most compassionate human being, and really was a guiding force for me while Pat was sick, and you know, to this day, but definitely in those weeks that followed, where you're overwhelmed by all that there is to do, and he would compartmentalize things for me. So we don't need to worry about that today. And, you know, and every day there was some other little piece that we would attend to. All the while he's grieving the loss of his child, which even, I mean, in the great scheme of things, as heartbroken as I am over the loss of my husband, I can't believe that anything compares to the loss of a child. And yet he was able to support me emotionally and intellectually and continue to be a great grandpa.
Pat's experiencing the ultimate championship in life. That's eternity with God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get no better than that.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, and he's waiting for you at the pearly gates, what are you going to say to Pat Parks?
I'll tell him I missed him. And I'll say thank you. And I think I'm going to want to go back to all the times where I feel like he's been sending me little messages of hope. And I would love to see, was I right? Or was this all in my imagination? And I truly believe the answer will be, I am right. Because I feel his presence in my life every day. And I feel him guiding me and supporting me and lifting me up when I need it most.
We're talking to Katie Parks. When we come back, we'll ask her about another love of her life, Christ Child Society. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Katie Parks, who since 1998 has been a volunteer slash board member for Christ Child Society. Katie, tell us about Christ Child Society.
Well, it's a remarkable organization of women that support a number of projects throughout the Tri-County area, but the principal focus is the Christ Child House, which is located on Joy Road in Detroit. And that is a residential facility licensed to care for 28 boys between the ages of 6 and 13, or 5 and 13, I think, actually. Those boys are either temporary or permanent placements, due to the fact that the state has identified them as victims of abuse or neglect.
You have a huge spot in your heart for this Christ Child House. Why?
Well, I'd like to say that the beginning of my time there was to try and make a difference in the world. But to be honest, I had these two little kids at home. I had retired from my job at Hospice of Michigan, and I needed to get out of the house. And this opportunity presented itself to go down to the house and to work with the boys. I began actually in the beginning, we used to put together layettes, baby blankets, and educational information that were distributed to a number of organizations around the Tri-County area to give to women in need that were experiencing either an unplanned pregnancy or women who were of a lower economic bracket. And so we would prepare these layette packages. And I then just got drawn into other projects that the house was doing, getting to know the boys. As my kids got older, I would say the most gratifying project I was involved in was when I was on the board and worked on enrichment, and I was in charge of the field trips for the boys, and my two daughters participated in those and got a great deal out of that experience. So I think, like any activity worth doing, when it comes to charitable endeavors, you end up walking away with more, taking away more personally than you give into it, I believe.
Tell us about the life of a typical boy at this Christ Child House.
Well, I don't think there is a typical boy at the Christ Child House. And they have come to this facility after experiencing sadness and injury, loss, depression, any sort of physical or emotional abuse. And in the safety of this environment, John Yablonski, who's the executive director, and his dedicated staff work first of all, with the child in the family, the goal is to have the child back with the family that's, you know, in a healthier situation. And in the instances where the child is a permanent ward of the state, then they work to have to find permanent placement and have these children adopted. So what John and his team do is really God's work.
Recently, he gave a speech, and I quote, "My thoughts keep coming back to the one little guy at the house whose story Carol Rooney shared with me recently. He's 8 years old, and he's already been in 15 different foster care settings before coming to Christ Child. He's 8.
It's heartbreaking, you know, and I think I thank God for the fact that the Christ Child House exists and that John and his staff now will embrace this young boy and try and make a difference in his life. And John always puts it all back to the mission, which is it's never too late for a happy childhood. And my prayer every night is that that be true for that young boy.
As I've learned about different entities that work with children, one of the common things, whether it's your father-in-law, Ed Parks, with Bob Thompson and University Prep, mm-hmm. whether it's Clark Durant, Cornerstone Schools, whether it's Mike Atchison, Math Corps, whether it's Pam Good, Beyond Basics, all of them have mentors, adult mentors, tied to the kids. Katie, why is that so important?
Well, I think for the reason it's important for all of us is to have someone whose example is an inspiration to us. For many of us, for me in particular, I was blessed to have that in my parents. But for those who don't have that experience, particularly the boys of the Christ Child House, they need to have that example to give them hope and encouragement.
You've got an 18-year-old daughter?
Almost
14-year-old
18.
Daughter?
Mm-hmm.
18 going on 26.
Mm-hmm.
You work.
Mm-hmm.
You're a widow. You're a member of the Board of Directors, co-chair, Knight of Angels committee member. Member of the Board of Directors of Care House. President, Parent Service Organization, Holy Name School. Marion High School president, Marion Mothers Club. On and on and on and on. Katie Parks, how do you do it all?
Well, you know, I try and prioritize what is most important to me, and that of course is my children. And each of those other volunteer opportunities come out of how can this enrich our family as well, and by giving back, it strengthens us as a family unit. My involvement in the kids' schools has always been incredibly rewarding for me. And just as a philosophy within our family, we look beyond the walls of our home and we try and make a difference in the community in which we live. And as I said earlier, we walk away from those experiences enriched and feeling as if we took away much more than we put into them.
You have a bracelet, Katie, that's a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us has crosses in our lives. There's storms that come along in our life. Talk to us about crosses in our life.
Well, I think everyone has experiences that challenge them. And the question is, will we allow ourselves to be individually defined by that cross? Will we allow it to help give us perspective about what is important to us and to help make choices moving forward? As you know, as to go back to what my dad said, is we can either let it define us or we can learn from it and grow. And I've chosen to not ignore those crosses in my life, but to use that as an opportunity to grow and to map out what's next for me. And I think that for each of us, some times it's more difficult than others to do that, but because of my strong faith and the family that surrounds me, I'm able to do that.
Katie, you were given away as an infant. 6 months you had foster parents, then adopted. You were labeled handicapped by the state of New York. Your husband died at age 43. And you seemingly have no bitterness with God. Why?
Well, I don't know what that would accomplish. I just, I think God didn't take Pat from me. It wasn't part of his plan. It wasn't, God doesn't have a master plan that would allow such sadness, I don't believe. I think what God has done is equipped me with the strength to be grateful for all the blessings that I've been given and choose to focus on those. I mean, you know, I have people around me that have suffered losses much greater than mine and still choose not to be defined by them. And for some people, they pour their energy into a mission to change the world in whatever way is important to them. And I think what I've done is chosen to continue to keep a positive focus for my children and to acknowledge that it's in giving that we receive, and that if I continue to do what's important to me and what was important to Pat, that, you know, there's not enough room for bitterness. My heart is filled with gratitude.
We're talking to Katie Parks. She may not look like him, but she sure sounds like her dad. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and with Katie Parks. If you want to learn more about Christ Child Society, www.ccsdetroit.org. ccsdetroit.org. Katie, anybody that listens to you for 10 minutes realizes you have great faith in God. For most of us, God is the spare tire of our life. Something happens, we get in that trunk, we get that spare tire out, we're cutting deals with them, I promise I'll quit doing this, I'll start doing this. Okay? And a day later, a week later, the tire's back in the trunk. For you, he is the steering wheel of your life. So if a listener says, I'd love to go from the spare tire to the steering wheel, how do I do that, Katie Parks?
Well, I think with me, it's because of the fact that my faith is really rooted in gratitude, and I believe that at all the blessings in my life I have to thank God for, and that's because of my mom. That is the way she raised us, is to be grateful for everything. And I think my faith helps direct my decisions, not to say that I... You know, when I'm in trouble, I'm starting to barter with God all the time, too. But I think because of the fact my mom was, her faith life was so important to her, it's just the foundation of my life as well.
I've been blessed to have Nick Vujicic as a guest 3 times. We've been blessed. And I think he's the next Billy Graham. He's 29 years old. He was born with no limbs in Australia. And he's spoken to tens and tens of millions of people, 500 million hits on YouTube. He's spectacular. And one of the things he says is that if you put G-O in front of disable, you get God is able. And he has no limbs. Hmm. I mean, no stumps, Katie. He has no limbs. Talk to us about a G-O in front of disable.
Well, Yeah, I think not just in terms of physical disability, but in terms of anything that holds us back, is that if we turn it over to God and to ask Him to guide us and to give us strength, that it will direct us in the path that is best for us, I firmly believe. So any, whether it be a physical disability or an emotional issue or a perceived roadblock to our what we would define as personal success, I feel as if we, for me anyway, to pray for strength and for guidance, it has never let me down.
Another thing you say, quote, and when you talk about your two daughters,
mm-hmm.
18 and 14, quote, I follow their lead more than I lead them. For most teenage daughters, that would be suicide. I follow their lead more than I lead them.
They're great kids. I mean, if 3 years ago they chose to lock themselves in a closet and roll into a little ball because they lost the greatest, as my Claire says, the greatest pancake maker known to man, and the greatest cuddler, no one would have blamed them. I mean, they were tiny kids and they lost their dad in a way that was just like it was so quick. And but you know, we had an opportunity when we realized that Pat would not recover on a Wednesday night to have a conversation with our children, and I thank God that we had the courage not to wait to have that conversation, because the following Sunday we would never speak to him again because he was on the ventilator. And my children, the courage that they showed in that moment, it has launched, continues to launch them forward. They are courageous, kind, loving kids who have so much of their dad in them, and they make me proud every single day. Now, are they perfect? Absolutely not, but they're pretty close.
We're talking to Katie Parks, whose husband, Pat, passed 3 years ago tomorrow. You regularly talk, Katie, about hope. What is hope?
Well, for me, it's what guides every decision in my life. I feel like I can hope for a strong tomorrow. I hope that I'm making the right decision. It fuels my the way I look at every tomorrow, I guess. It's in my speech with to the Christ Child Society, I spoke of hope as a verb versus an adjective, and it's the driving force in my life.
Quote you again,
mm-hmm.
Christ Child creates a culture of hope for the boys, who then in turn inspire all of us to hope.
Yeah, it's really a circle. I mean, you cannot spend any time with those boys and not be touched and not be moved to try and make a difference in their lives. And then in turn, to be incredibly grateful for the blessings we have in our own lives. So it's definitely a circle of hope, and a very meaningful one at that.
The most used phrase in the Bible, Katie, is not love your God, love your neighbor. It's be not afraid.
Hmm.
And you say, your favorite Bible passage is Philippians chapter 4. St. Peter writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. A lot of people today are afraid, anxious.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them?
Well, it's normal. I mean, we live in a society that breeds anxiety, I think. And but it's, what do we do with it? And that's what I love about that Bible passage, was the fact that not only do you bring your petition to God, but you bring it with a voice of thanksgiving as well. And I feel that whenever I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, if I bring that prayer to God, to try and fix whatever it is that's causing me that anxiety, but I have it in hand with something for which I'm thankful, it brings me peace, exactly as that scripture passage describes, that I feel like, you know, anything is possible with God, for sure. But because I am in tune to the blessing in my life, it often disarms the anxiety.
You mentioned the word grateful in an earlier segment. You are very grateful. You're very appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the greatest gifts. If you stay appreciative, you stay healthy, you stay young thinking, you've got joy in life. If you just expect everything, you're never satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
How does one learn appreciation?
Well, I don't know that it can be learned. It's a habit, and it's by looking at the whole circumstance of your life and acknowledging that it's not just you that's in charge, and that that if you are able to look at the good that you have in life and be grateful, it comes naturally. To me, it definitely was it's just how I'm wired. It's how I was raised.
As our time winds down, Katie Parks, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Well, I guess I would give the advice I give to my children every day, even though it's not verbalized necessarily. You can't walk out of our house without passing a giant poster that has my philosophy of life straight from the Ballard Design Catalog. I wish it was the Bible, but it's not. And it says, people tend to seek happiness when happiness is actually a choice. Life is going to hand you all sorts of things. And if you can choose to be happy, given the circumstances that surround you, you can continue to be filled with hope, then you will find the path to happiness. And it's not about picking this and choosing that, but looking at the sum total of your life experiences and being grateful. And that's the key to happiness.
Katie Parks, keep making Mom and Dad proud, Pat proud, and we're all the beneficiaries of you continuing to do that. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. It's Paul.